Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Hoosier Football Tailgate here on the Believe Network. I am the coach, Shannon Griffith. As I mess with my camera to get myself into focus, I guess you could say, but this is a special edition of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. We're going to have and here in a second, joining us here on the show, Curtis Rourke, the transfer quarterback from Ohio University, the Bobcats, where he threw for over 7,000 yards in his career at Ohio, and now, after entering the transfer portal, has joined IU and will be in competition for the starting QB1 position coming up, starting this spring, and more importantly, probably starting here in the next few weeks as they get ready to come back on campus and get things rolling there with the winter workouts and such. But before we do that, let me do this. I want to thank Bet Online for their support of the Hoosier Football Tailgate here on Believe. Bet Online is your number one sports source for all things sports wagering, as UCAT NCAA football in full gear now with the bowl championship series going on, as well as the playoffs, which will start here in another week. But many bowl games to bet on, as well as the NBA, NHL, college basketball, you name it. Bet Online's got it all the way up for your betting lines, over-unders, all types of parlays and things of that magnitude. Bet Online is your number one source. Remember, use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% bonus on your first deposit with Bet Online. Bet Online is where the game starts. And like I said, tonight we've got a special guest, and I kind of think they're special in other ways because he's a QB, and I coach quarterbacks for a number of years at Ball State University and throughout my coaching career. Going to bring on the young man from Ohio U. There he is. So far, so good here, Mr. Rourke. I've got it working, I guess you could say. But thanks for jumping on here tonight. I know this is a busy time of year. Happy New Year to you. And I know that you're probably gearing up to get yourself down to campus there in Bloomington.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Coach Griff. I appreciate it.
Well, let's do this. Let's talk about, now you are from Canada. Now, give us in relationship for us here in North America, whereabouts you're located, and then we'll go from there and talk about your journey to OU.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in the province of Ontario, which is in a city of Oakville, which is about 45 minutes from Toronto. A lot of people know Toronto. And so I kind of lived in the outskirts of Toronto. About 3 years ago, family moved out, way out west to be close to my mom's side. And we live right above Seattle in BC, Vancouver, BC. And that's where home is right now. So
you're out on the West Coast right now.
I am.
Now.
I am, yeah.
So you got a little trip to make. I guess it's a couple flights.
Yeah.
Now, are you back home near there now for the holidays? Is that kind of where you're at, or are you back around at OU getting things ready to move out to Bloomington?
Yeah. So I went home for Christmas and able to spend some time with my family up in Shuswap and be able to. And then a couple of days ago, flew back down to Cincinnati, to where my fiance is from, and then going to go down tomorrow to move out the rest of the stuff out of OU, and then drive to Indiana in the new year. So it's all coming together. So
gonna be going from being a, I guess you could say, a Buckeye to a Hoosier, I guess now. So yeah. welcome to the Indiana and being a Hoosier. Now let's talk about your journey to OU. You know, give us a little insight on Canada and the football up there, and kind of how was it that you ended up OU? Now, I know you followed your brother there. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It turned out to be that way.
Okay. So give us a little insight on Canadian football, high school wise, and, you know, kind of what led you to OU, and for that matter of fact, your brother as well.
Yeah. So my brother and I had different routes to OU. You know, I'll stick with mine to start. And so I played Canadian football rules all throughout high school, with, you know, bigger field, three downs, all that fun sort of stuff. You know, playing football in Canada, it's kind of hard to get recruited, especially, you know, to bigger universities down south and colleges. And so kind of having my brother there already kind of got the foot in the door with Ohio. And so I had to go to a bunch of camps, kind of send film every week, just like everybody else. But the only connection that I had was through OU and because my brother was there. And so that was really nice to kind of get things started. And it was great because they took a chance on me, took a chance on the player I was, and didn't just take me because of, you know, my brother's success that he's had there. I only had two offers, or one official, and then some other interests from MAC schools. But really grateful for OU and taking that chance on me and helping me, you know, continue my career and ultimately closer to my dreams. So,
yeah, you know, when I was at Ball State recruiting, Canadian recruiting had just started to kind of, I guess, make its way into college football, based on some of the things that were happening up in the Ontario area and things of that magnitude, like you mentioned, some camps and things of that nature. So it's been happening for quite a few years. There's a lot of good football players in Canada. And while it's a little bit different to a degree, I know that Western Michigan, when I was coaching, had some players playing that came from the Canadian, you know, high school leagues up there. So while it's not, you know, a common place that people go to recruit, it's kind of one of those hidden gems in some respects, because there's been a lot of really good football players that have made their way into the States to play football. And I think some of the success out west as well, if I'm not mistaken. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. And every year that goes by, there's some more increase of Canadian talent that comes out. I think the best thing still to do is for Canadians to go down south for the last couple of years of high school for that extra exposure. But I know at Ohio, at least, we had a coach that was, you know, in charge of recruiting Canada as well, which is cool because I know it's usually just the states, you know, they section off different states and stuff like that. So, you know, I think Canada's on the rise, but still a long way to go to fully exceed the exposure.
Yeah. Now, was your brother still on the team there at OU when you arrived as a freshman, or had he graduated yet?
Yeah, so it was really cool. He was senior. It was his final year, and then I came in as a freshman in 2019. And so we were able to have that year. I was able to kind of cheer him on and grow as a player myself. And I think that was one of the best years for sure of my college, just to be able to be on the same team as him. So,
well, number one, he probably helped you make that transition a little bit easier into the college life, so to speak, in terms of academics and then, you know, being a D1 football player and what that all entails. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it probably made it easier on your family because they really only had to go to one place to watch you guys play, and you weren't dividing the family up. Mm-hmm. I was still coaching when my son was playing at IU. And so, unfortunately, my wife chose him every Saturday as opposed to coming and cheering on me. So I understand that. But your brother had a pretty storied career at Ohio, threw for a bunch of yards. I think he was also over 7,000 yards or close to it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Correct. Is that, I know he was with Jacksonville, but I just saw something the other day. I thought he is now with New England. Correct. Is that correct? Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So he's getting indoctrinated into the NFL and all the craziness that happens with quarterbacks, moving here and there per se. So he is now at, with the New England Patriots there as they finish up the season and such. And I don't know, did you get a chance to go see him or vice versa here over the holidays, or was it a little bit too hectic to really, you know, Jacksonville and things of that magnitude?
Yeah. I haven't been able to see him, since the, you know, both of our seasons started actually. And his is obviously still going on. Being in Florida is a little bit far away. And so I was thinking about taking a trip for New Year's to see him before I headed to IU, but then he kind of got picked up by the New England. And so their schedule is different. And, but I'll see him eventually. We talk on the phone a bunch and
yeah.
You know, we're keeping up with each other for sure.
Well, that's definitely a great having a brother, a family member that has gone through, you know, what you've gone through and vice versa. So you guys can kind of lead on each other because playing quarterback, you know, like I always said, you guys get way too much credit at times and way too much criticism as the other. So that's just kind of the position. You learn to accept it. Mm-hmm. And just like in coaching, you know, coaches can look really good when they got great players and get a lot of praise and then get a lot of heat for, you know, when things don't go so well. But so you're at OU 2019. Mm-hmm. Did you move into the starting position after your brother left, or what was the scenario there as you continued on in your career at OU?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I played in 2020. It was COVID year, obviously. I started those three games that we played. We only played three games that year, but I started all of those, and then I started every year since. In 2021, they tried a different sort of offense for, I think, three games that year, and so I didn't start in those. But those years after and before, I did as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you went through some ups and downs of being a college quarterback and, you know, all those things that go with it. And, you know, as well as anybody, if you're in a quarterback room, you all prepare as the guy because you never know when your number's going to get called. And when that opportunity comes, you got to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you got to be ready, right? Because you never know what happens. You look in the NFL right now, all the backup quarterbacks that are having to be called. I mean, you just got to be ready. So 100%.
Yeah. You only play one. I know some teams play two, and depending on what system you're in or if you got two talented guys, man, how that works. But the fact of the matter, it's a one position situation, and you're always in competition. So at OU, kind of go through your first season starting, you know, kind of what was like that, you know, finally, you know, stepping into the starting position that your brother held. You know, I know that can kind of be sometimes a barrier or a burden, you know, because you're, you know, maybe getting compared. But, you know, talk about that first year starting for you. How was that? And kind of go over your record and things of that nature.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, having an older brother who's had so much success at every level, you can't go to any place and not be compared to him. And so I'm grateful for all the things that he's done and you know, helped with the path of where I am. I've gotten used to all the comparisons and all that. I think that first game, I had a solid game, but I was just wanted to enjoy it because kind of this was the next step and of being able to reach my dreams of playing professionally and to just be on the field and, you know, this is, you know, I'm the quarterback of a Division I program, and you know, just to be able to do that it was awesome. And so I just want to go have fun and enjoy that moment every time. And I think the first drive, I believe we went down and scored, so that was pretty fun.
Jake, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, this could be fun. This would be really fun. But obviously, football's up and down. But continue to grow each year and every game, and so. Couldn't be more grateful for that journey.
Now, who did you guys play in that first year out of conference? You know, kind of the big games, the money games, or, you know, things of that magnitude.
Yeah, so we just played MAC games in 2020, but 2021 we opened against Syracuse. So they came to town actually, which was pretty nice. And so going there was pretty fun. We went to Northwestern that year as well. Louisiana Lafayette, those are off or kind of bigger games. I know mm-hmm. Lafayette was really good that year. They had a really good quarterback in the whole team, I guess. So those are a big game that year. And then obviously 22 went Penn State, Iowa State. Those are great atmospheres for sure.
Penn State is you're going to potentially get you don't play them this year. I don't think the way the schedule works out, but that's a pretty premier environment for a MAC team to go into. And, you know, even though you were a more mature quarterback at the time last year, talk about that experience from your perspective playing in that environment, you know, coming out of the MAC and, you know, going into a stadium that plays, you know, 100,000 plus.
Yeah, I think anytime you're the major underdog in those games, you just go in there and try to do your best and have fun and use it as a growth period for you and your team. You know, definitely you want to win all your non-conference games, but, you know, this real season doesn't really start until, you know, conference play, right? So you can just build on that as much as you can through the non-conference games. And in going into Penn State, we were obviously trying to win. But we knew that they were a good team and we were just doing the best we could to grow and continue to get better as a team, get that chemistry down. And it was a great atmosphere. I mean, you know, I think that was the first home game. So it was white out. And so it was, I think it was 106,000 there and just walking down that field and be able to be like, this is fun. I think we played them tough, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it was just a lot of fun and you know, I'm looking forward to those type of games this year.
Yeah, I can remember when I was coaching, we got to play in some pretty, you know, notorious stadiums, played in the Swamp against Florida, coached against Spurrier, then played in Clemson, you know, where the Rock is, you know, where they run down the hill and such. And those were all, you know, magical moments for players and coaches that get to play in those environments. And like you said, the mindset is to go win. And become, you know, a pretty notarized team that week for that big win. Mm-hmm. Now, you're about what, 6'5"?
Yeah, yes, sir.
6'5", about 220, 225?
Yeah, okay. Right on. Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a quarterback? I mean, do you look at yourself as more of the pure, you know, drop back quarterback in that regard? Because I know at OU you guys did a little bit of everything, and I know your, you know, Coach Esperad, who was your quarterback coach, correct?
Yes, sir. Coach Esperad.
Yeah, I know him pretty good. And just talk about your preparation and what did you see yourself as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think ever since I've been young and growing in my quarterback ability, I've had a talented arm and been able to make some throws that not everyone can make. And so I would definitely categorize myself as a pocket passer, but I like to, and something I've continued to work on every single year is be able to expand plays and extend plays with my legs and be able to make plays with my feet. A lot of people look at me as a pocket passer, but I think there's some hidden stats of being able to extend plays and mm-hmm. that's really huge. And so, it's something that I've worked on and will continue to work on and being more, working speed and agility and all that. And so that, I can continue to do that and continue to make plays not just in the air, but on the run as well.
Yeah. And I tell, people all the time, mobility for quarterbacks, whether you're a 6-footer or a 6'5" guy, those are the things that, are the unique characteristics of a quarterback. And I think for you being a big guy, watching some of your tape and film, you fit in that mobility category. You talked about extending plays, but I think this goes back to the mentality of a quarterback, the mental preparation and understanding, down and distance in different scenarios. But, first and 10 throwing the ball is different than being in a third and long or a third and 7 or 8, right? Because you understand first and 10, if it's not there, you can look for those escape routes to, get back to,
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Oh, the line of scrimmage or extend it beyond that. Mm-hmm. Where third and long in situations like that, maybe you have to hang in there a little bit because you got to let plays develop. I think that's one of the things that makes someone like you unique at the quarterback position. When you look at the portal and stuff, you understand the game of football. I know who you've been taught by and the mental preparation that I'm sure you've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like you said, all the coaches at OU have been there the whole time, my whole tenure, and they're very knowledgeable. And what I appreciate a lot about that is they taught a lot about knowing the situation, knowing when to make throws, when to escape, and then obviously all the other situational stuff mm-hmm. you need as a quarterback. And I think that's not always taught to a certain point. And so I appreciate my coaches being able to do that.
What type of mental preparation would you do in preparation for a game? During the week, I know you get the live reps and practice and the looks that you may get by your defense or the scout team, but what other preparations were you, in routine with on a constant week to week basis?
Yeah, I think a lot of development as a quarterback is being able to learn how to watch film on a day-to-day basis in a week-to-week basis with different teams. And we obviously do that as a position group and as a team, but You have to individually watch defenses, you know, mm-hmm. watch their defense, watch, you know, the base defense and watch, you know, the different coverage and see how they line up differently. See if you can see any tells and all that. You know, same with blitzes, you know, what kind of blitzes do they run and what do they, you know, play back behind that, you know, are they a cover three team when they, you know, when they bring the Sam or nickel Sam or whatever. Right. So it's a lot of, you know, being able to study film, know how I understand film and how it helps me understand the best, and then just putting the time and work into doing so.
Yeah, and in today's game, you got the ability to have, you know, the iPads and things of that magnitude. What was your go-to cut-up that you always would want to have either made for you and load onto an iPad, or, you know, did you have a set of things that you like to utilize cut up wise to, you know, prep you for the week's contest?
Yeah. I would obviously watch the third down was huge mm-hmm. for me, red zone. What I like to do at the end of the week is go back and turn off all the overlay kind of thing and just watch a game.
Yeah.
You know, watch a game and usually from the back angle, kind of just to kind of get a sense of, you know, mm-hmm. everything that we've put together through the whole week. You know, how can I, you know, envision myself in that game and then just kind of go through it like I'm calling it. And just it helps with identifying defenses as well as, you know, different formations that we're going to run that week and kind of highlighting that package as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things when I was coaching quarterbacks, you talked about the end zone angle mm-hmm. and, you know, getting away from the cut-ups and yeah. watching the game as it unfolds, as, you know, what, you know, team you're studying, just from what you talked about there is trying to put yourself in those situations as they come up in the game. And that's a great way to get a feel for the speed of the game as well. Mm-hmm. Not that you get it totally, but, you know, you'll get a little bit of it. Let's talk a little bit. We'll talk about, you know, 2022 and then, you know, Mac Player of the Year. But when you decided to go to OU and the Mid-American Conference, were you aware of the kind of the quarterback legacy that the Mid-American Conference has kind of spit out over the years?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I loved about the MAC is that, you know, it's one of the mid-tier group of five conferences, but there's some really great players that have come from that, and quarterbacks including that. And even at OU, they had a bunch of guys that mm-hmm. have gone to the NFL from that and had some stints in the NFL and a couple quarterbacks. I mean, my brother being one of them now, but some other guys as well. It's just great to be a part of, or, you know, when I was going there, it would be great to be a part of a conference that was so, that had so many guys that have made the next level and made that dream happen from a Mid-American conference like that. And there's other reasons why I love the MAC and love playing it. But that's definitely one of the bigger reasons.
Yeah. And, you know, I ask you that because I still have a little bit of, I guess you could say, flashbacks here and there, because I recruited Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
My son grew up as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I barred him from wearing any Pittsburgh, you know, memorabilia around me because Roethlisberger went to Miami of Ohio, not to Ball State, which was a story we can talk about another time. Talk about your, you know, the year that you became MAC Player of the Year. That was what, 22?
Sure.
Offensive Player of the Year. Talk about that season from your perspective and kind of, you know, that kind of being a magical year for you. It's a pretty prestigious award to be known for an Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, that was a great year. You know, we had a lot of high expectations for ourselves, but that was kind of it. No one around the league kind of expected us to have a good year. We expected us to kind of be in the middle of the pack. And, you know, we kind of had a couple new pass concepts in that year and that summer, and we repped them and worked them a ton that off season. And we got really confident as an offense to be able to put up points. And then we started showing that in the first game. I think we scored 45, something like that. And we just had a sort of confidence through that. And myself continued to get confident as well. We had a bunch of really great athletes and guys all around, you know, running backs, receivers, brought a couple of transfers in. Offensive line was great and tight ends as well. And so we kind of had a really great group, and being able to throw to the guys and that made, you know, my job a little bit easier, helped a ton. it was just nice to continue to help contribute to the team because, I mean, the team kept winning, and we were able to have some fun games. And, yeah, it was just awesome to be able to, you know, have that season with the guys. It's just too bad the way it ended and all that. But, you know, it's definitely a season I won't forget.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about those players that come around you. You know, that also makes the quarterback, too. I mean, there's only so much you can do as a quarterback, but you got to have guys that can, you know, tote the rock, and guys can make unbelievable catches because they know what they're doing, route running and getting open, which is a special technique as well. But, you know, that year for you being a special year, and then, of course, surpassing your brother on the all-time passing yardage list there at OU, which I think you're what, second overall now?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of talk a little bit about that, you know, surpassing your brother, not to say that was, you know, like the end all be all, but I'm right. Sure that was a discussion around the dinner table every once in a while, or a few text messages back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been very supportive throughout my whole career, and so it's hard to you know, rub it in his face when he's being supportive and all like that. But yeah, it you know, we were always competitive. We instilled the competitive spirit in each other, and when we were younger, and so we always, you know, compete for each other. And the great year in career that he had at Ohio, you know, be able to pass him in some records was awesome, because, of what great things he did. And so that it meant a lot. But he'll always bring up that, I don't have this record or that record. So, you know, always go back and forth. It's never ending. So, but yeah, I'm grateful for him and the opportunity that I had to even touch that record.
Yeah. Records are meant to be broken, right? I mean, that's exactly. Why the records are there, to be broken. And well, I'm sure there, you know, there's always going to be somebody that's going to come along, no matter, you know, whenever that may become, mm-hmm. that time comes, but that's what records are there for. Let's talk now. Did you graduate? Are you a grad transfer? Is that kind of what? Okay. So what did you get your degree in?
My undergrad was in communications with sports management minor, and then I just finished my coaching education master's program.
Okay. So you got a master's already?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So you've really put in the work academically. Football aside, what do you, and I know that playing in the league is always an aspiration for kids that play D1 football and things of that nature. What do you see yourself doing with that degree if you weren't coaching or weren't playing? I've already tried to put things in your mind, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I asked myself that a bunch. I know I want to be involved in sports and whether fashion that is, you know, whether that's in marketing or broadcasting, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. But sports has meant a lot to my life, and it's taught me a lot of things. And so I know I want to continue to be involved even after I stop playing. I'm lucky enough to build a lot of connections over the years. And so, you know, when that time comes, I'm sure I'll be able to get some jobs opened up and all that. Right. But, you know, at the very end, whenever I stop playing and all that, I definitely want to go into coaching eventually, and kind of give back what you know, all of my great coaches in my life has given. And because I know coaching is one of the most influential things you can be. And I'm sure, as you know, it's a very important job. So.
Well, you get into coaching, you know, to have an impact on a young man's life. And hopefully they learn from you by, you know, like myself, I was married, had two young kids. So I wanted guys that, you know, to see me in a different light, you know, as a husband, as a father. And those are the things that have those impacts on kids' life. And that's why I coached. You know, coaching at the D1 level was awesome. Loved it. Coaching at the D3 level was awesome. you know, the non-scholarship level, it's still about impacting kids' lives. And that's something that if that's what you choose to do, I highly encourage you to do that, because it's something that you will always cherish and the memories will be everlasting in that regard. So graduated, master's degree, set records. You know, you had 10 win seasons, 9 win seasons as a quarterback there at OU. And now comes the decision you're going to enter the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Talk about that journey and kind of what that's like, because, you know, there's a lot of things going on in college football right now. You know, with the, you know, the transfer portal, you've got name, image, and likeness. You've got, you know, all the different things that are available to guys now. But talk about the transfer portal and kind of what was that like for you? Was it kind of like going all the way back to coming out of Canada, or was it a little bit more realistic this time around in the sense that you kind of been there, done that type of approach?
Yeah, it was a lot. You know, first 2 days there were a lot of phone calls, a lot of, you know, Twitter kind of, you know, DMs and answering those. And coming out of high school, I was obviously not heavily recruited, and so this was kind of something I wasn't ready for. But it was just super exciting, and being able to talk to the different programs and kind of figure out, you know, what path I want to take and what was the best situation for me.
Yeah, I mean, right now in today's world of college football, quarterbacks such as yourself are highly sought after, just because I thought Coach Cignetti's one of his answers of what he looks for in guys in the portal or quarterbacks in general. You know, he looks for guys that understand how to play the position of quarterback. And it's not all about throwing the football. It's about, like we talked earlier, it's the mental aspect of the game. And, you know, I think that's what makes guys like yourself very, you know, wanted when you go in the portal. So you get in the portal, you're getting all these contacts. What leads you to Indiana? And what was it about IU that ultimately became, you know, hey, that's where I need to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I initially, I think it was the second day. I got a message from Coach Tino. You know, he said, if I have a time to talk, and, you know, I talked to him later that day, and he kind of just, you know, it was a different conversation that I had with you know, compared to other schools. You know, he's very knowledgeable, told me about his resume, one of the most impressive resumes. I mean, he worked with Saban, worked with all the great quarterbacks there, and he just listed, you know, all of the quarterbacks that he's worked with, and obviously they're notable names, and the success that they've had, and that, you know, he believes in not only me, but believes in the guys that they're going to bring in, and that this year is going to be a good year. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Coach Cignetti later on. He gave me a call, and he was the same. I mean, he's very confident as a coach, and you love to see that as a player. And the fact that first thing that he said to me is, because I knew that the whole staff was wiped and he's coming to a new situation. And the first thing was he said he has no intention of losing the season. He wants to win, and he's going to win, and he's got the track record of that. And he you know. You know, a lot of people you could say, yeah, you know, everyone can say who's proven that he can come to the organization and help it win and help it win fast. And he kind of gave me the blueprint of his plan, who he plans to bring in, and that he just needs a quarterback. And he, you know, spoke very highly of me, which was awesome, really great and appreciated. And so from that conversation, I knew I wanted to at least take a visit, check it out. And, yeah, I mean, the visit was great. I mean, the resources that Indiana has is awesome, and being able to envision myself on campus, you know, and kind of understand, the offense that they're going to be run. But met with Coach Tino, Coach Shanahan, all of those guys, and it kind of just felt like it was the right option, right decision, and it felt like home already. So it was great.
Yeah. What did you know about Indiana prior to going to the being on campus there? I mean, what did you know specifically about IU?
Yeah, to be transparent, I didn't know too much about the program. And I knew the Big Ten and the conference is arguably the best, in all of college football. And, I've watched some Indiana games because big like watching football. I know their history as a basketball school. My dad lived there in Indiana when he was younger. And so he kind of knew a little bit about it. But other than that, there wasn't too much that I knew about it. But I knew that I was really going there more for the intriguing coaching staff and what they had. So,
yeah. And, the impressive, I think what most people would say, and I think you said it, is you ultimately become, I guess, a little surprised by what is there in place, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, facility wise, stadium wise, and what is there for you as a player, support staff and things of that magnitude. The campus itself, it's a beautiful campus to be around, and there's a lot of intrigue and things of that magnitude there at the campus, and that you're going to find out as here shortly. But it is got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. I would say from a coach's standpoint, when you look at things that are there set up to have success. And, Coach Cignetti he's got a track record. That's the only one thing that I would say about him is that he's got a track record. What was your relationship with Tino? I mean, did you hit it off right of the way? I mean, did you kind of, have that instantaneous, I don't want to call it a friendship, but understanding, that's a guy I want to play, I want to go play for that guy.
Yeah. I definitely, after meeting with him and talking to him a couple of times, I was like, this is someone that, not only do I want to work with, but someone that I can learn from. And I think he's that guy, that great balance of, mutual respect, between the coach and the player, but also, he knows how to command a room, and kind of teach what he knows. During our first conversation, when I was on the visit, he kind of laid out the offense and gave a kind of sneak peek in his coaching style. And I just think it's very welcoming and I just enjoyed the way that he coached and I could see myself learning from him, not only this year, but in the future and taking those things that, because again, he's been around such great coaches and programs. So, I mean, he's
absolutely
got a track record as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, the other thing is you're going to go from, a guy that was a starting quarterback. You're going to enter a room with, four other guys, two that are there now, and then of course two incoming. How does it feel like going back into that, earning the job mentality type of thing? How does that, from your perspective, is that something that you look forward to competing against those guys, or kind of give me a sense of that mentality walking into that quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, the competition is one of the big things why I love football, because it's a great competitive sport, and that's what helps me grow as a player and as a person. And so I'm looking forward to the competition, because I know there's going to be great quarterbacks there. And I think every year that I've come into college, I've realized that there's going to be great quarterbacks in that room every single year. Mm-hmm. So nothing is going to be handed to you, no matter how many years you started, how many years you haven't. Right. And so, I've tried to approach every single year as you got to win this job and not you got to maintain this job. Right. And so coming into the situation, there's some great quarterbacks that have already been there. I know there's great quarterbacks that have just been recruited and going to come in as well. And so it's going to be a really great room to be able to learn from them guys and compete with them. And overall, just as a whole room, help elevate the program entirely.
Yeah, I think that's the most important things of having good quarterbacks is that you have a great quarterback room, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that competition, because it's always, you're always on, you know, on point. You know, you have to be. It's a constant daily competition in what you do and how you do it. So I appreciate that answer about, you know, entering a room, knowing that you're going to go compete and those guys around you are going to make you better as a quarterback and vice versa. Now you get to bring your top receiver with you as well, right? Talk about Miles, because he was a heck of a receiver at OU.
Absolutely. We had, I was very lucky to have the last 2 years, really great receiving core through Miles, Sam, and Jacoby, and as the main guys, as well as you know, Tyler Walton. But I think Miles brings something different, and I think a lot of the Hoosier fans are going to like what he brings. He's one of the best hand catchers I know. He's very strong and can run a route and get open, but he's a really great hands catcher, and I think he can also kind of you know, surprise people with his speed sometimes, that's always a plus. But I think the most important thing, or the best thing I like about him, is the fact that he's a hard worker, and his character is one of the best, and I know that's why Coach Signetti liked him, and I just think that's a positive thing in what you want to do, especially when you're starting a kind of a program and building that up, you know, having that character, and Miles brings that for sure.
Well, you got some other characters in that room that are pretty darn good football players. Donovan McCauley's one of them, of course, and then EJ Williams is another one. And so you're going to have fun as a quarterback. Let me tell you, I'd love to have that room to throw to every day out of practice. You there, Kurt? It looks like we may have lost him. Let's see if we can get him back here in a second. Sometimes this thing does strange things, as we all know, with technology and such. Yeah, let's see if he comes back on here in a second. But just to fill it in, you know, he's one of 20-some-odd transfers that IU has brought in, and he's going to be a top guy at that position, and he's going to let me see if I can in the world if I can get him back on here. But like I was saying, he is going into a situation in a quarterback room that is going to have a lot of talent in, with Taven Jackson, Brock Lowry being there, and then of course our Mendoza coming in as a true freshman, and then Tyler Cherry, the five-star recruit out of Center Grove, is also going to be in that room as well. So there's going to be a lot of competition for Curtis, but as you can see, why somebody like Coach Signetti and Tino, the quarterback coach, like this young man. Very intelligent, graduate, undergrad, and got his master's. And did a lot of great things at Ohio University as a quarterback, but more importantly, that's impressive, is his academic performance. I think you can say he's a great representation of a student athlete. And I think in some respects, that's another attractive thing about a guy like Curtis, is that, you know, he takes care of his academics and he's well-respected, not only on the field, but off the field as well, academically speaking. We're going to wait for him a few more minutes. He just texted, said he's going to try to jump back on his phone as we try to get everything situated here with this technology. But do appreciate him taking time out, jumping on here on the Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network. He's going to be a fine young man to watch. Let's see. Texting him right now to see if he's going to be able to get back on. But like he was saying, he's got, you know, the wide receiver from OU that's transiting with him, 1,000-yard receiver. Miles Cross is 6'1", 195 pounder from OU as well. He had over 1,000 yards there, and I think we're going to get him back. There he is. He's back. Hey, it worked.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay, my man. And I was just going to say, if you couldn't, that's all right. We're going to finish up here shortly anyway, because I've had enough of your time, and I'm sure you're ready to chill out some more. But we were talking about the wide receiver room that you're going to have the opportunity to be a throw to. Miles, of course, coming with you from OU. Have you had a chance to talk to any of those guys on the, you know, that are a part of that wide receiver room?
Yeah, obviously spoke to Miles, spoke to Donovan as well. And I spoke to him on my visit, but also, you know, reached out to him as well. We talked a little bit since, you know, both the news, as well as the week transfer receiver as well. Spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little brief introductions as well. But I'm looking forward to meeting everybody kind of when school starts next week.
Yeah, you got Keyshawn Williams from Wake Forest, as well as Miles Price from Texas Tech was another transfer. The Zach Horton, the big tight end from James Madison, which I'm sure you'll get familiar with what they like to do as an offense. And then, of course, some big boys up front that are coming back and transferring as well. And coached by, I call a legendary coach, Coach Bob Stead, the offensive line coach there. He's a very good offensive line coach in the Big Ten and very well known for his technical teachings and getting offensive linemen ready to play in the Big Ten. But hey, man, I appreciate you jumping on. I know we had to adapt, adjust, and improvise just like you have to do in football sometimes. You know, when things go wrong, like they sometimes do, you got to be prepared to adapt and adjust, right?
Yeah, I appreciate you hanging on. That was definitely an adversity moment right there.
That's right. That was a kill audible right there in the middle of the interview. We had to kill it and find another run play to run. So I appreciate it, Curtis. I wish you all the best. I'm sure I know a lot of Indiana fans are looking forward to watching you come in and compete and see what all happens with this Indiana football team, but you're absolutely correct. Coach Cignetti's a guy that just getting to a bowl game is not going to be something that he's shooting for. He's shooting for something more than that, and I hope it's a special ride for you. And I'll try to stay in touch with you throughout the year, but good luck. And I know you said you have a fiance, right?
Yeah.
When's the wedding date?
It's actually February. So it's coming up.
Next February or this February?
This February.
Oh my goodness. You're going to
something days away. Yep.
Oh my goodness. Is she ready to be in this whirlwind with you?
Oh yeah, she's been great. She's been great the whole process. She's excited to be a Hoosier affiliated, I guess.
Now, is she an OU grad?
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. She's an OU grad, but she's had aunts that are IU grads. So there you go.
Oh, so she's probably a little bit more aware of Indiana than you are in some respects.
She was going into it. Yep, she was.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best, young man. And I'm sure the people that get a chance to tune in and watch this tonight or later will find out exactly what Indiana's getting in the quarterback room. And that's a gentleman and a young man that defines student athlete, having getting your degree done and chasing a dream. And I wish you nothing but the best chasing that dream, and look forward to watching you play this year.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Coach Rip.
All right, buddy. Good luck. Tell Coach Haynes, that's your defensive coordinator, I gave him his first start in college football. So I have a great eye for talent that he can't do any special blitzing when you're, you know, whether it's 7-on-7 or, you know, 11-on-11. Tell him that I told him that. He'll get a kick out of that because the offensive coaches running those drills are always advantage offense. Don't give those defensive guys any leeway because they'll bring some type of blitz that you're not ready for.
That's right. That's right. I'll let them know.
All right, Curtis. Hey, safe travels and good luck this spring. I know you're excited to get involved with everything, but best of luck, young man.
Thank you. Yeah, can't wait. Thanks, Coach.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Curtis Rourke, Ohio Bobcat transfer quarterback. Impressive young man. Threw for 7,000 plus yards. 2022 MAC Player of the Year. Just a great resume. And as you can see there, a great young man with his head on his shoulders. And I think that it's going to be an interesting spring this year in competition. And, you know, wish him luck with his wedding coming up in February and then getting there at IU and getting things rolling. But appreciate him jumping on here this evening, kind of threw it together there. But, thank him. And again, thank Bet Online for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Thanks for watching. I'm the coach, Shannon Griffith. This has been the Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network. Good night, everybody.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.